Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 2nd of May, 2016. The title, Energy is Always Political. As we start Energy Trends Month here at Papri Tala Publications, I want to make sure those of you with a few less years of experience than I have understand that energy is probably the most concomitant political and scientific subject you will ever face. It is indeed an interesting one, for it does have much science to it, and at this late date in the Industrial Revolution, which was spawned by harnessing cheap sources of energy, we do know a great deal about thermal energy, its forms of use, radiant convection and conduction transfer, and its effects on changes of phases of various compounds, those of water being the most practical and interesting to us. Of course, also, electrical energy ranks right up there in our scientific knowledge and ability to harness it for both power and control. The impact of electricity was summed up in a statement I heard about 30 years ago when an actor whose name I cannot remember and whose career spanned many, many decades, when asked the most significant change in the theater in his century-long lifetime, promptly answered, electric lights. So much for the old limelights, the previously predominant form of theater lighting as far as he was concerned. That energy has always been a political subject, I can prove to you promptly. Early economical forms of conversion of thermal energy into mechanical energy were developed by Boulton and Watt by about 1790. Prior to that, all mechanical energy had been sourced from water, wind, and muscle. Muscle energy, of course, came from animals and slaves, which had been used for millennia. Muscle energy was expensive under any circumstances. Muscle energy had to come from animals who were willing to be subjected to exerting their muscles to do tasks for their master's liking. Slaves were a better source from a cold, hard fact point of view because they were intelligent and could be instructed to do tasks the master desired under the threat of punishment up to and including death if they did not perform. Slaves also had dexterity, which made them useful for tasks other than just raw exertion of mechanical energy.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
How's it going, Bill? Or should I say stud?
Very funny.
Really, how's the work on that dryer head going?
We've been trying to take out those three bolts for 2 days. I've had crews working on it around the clock, we've broken wrenches, and must have gone through about a gallon of penetrating oil. And we accidentally hit the dryer shell a number of times. Now I'm going to have to get a metallurgical engineer out here to see if we have done any permanent damage.
So, are you doing this the old-fashioned way, just for fun?
Huh? You got any better ideas, Miss Smarty Pants?
Matter of fact, I do. Ever heard of CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal?
CB what?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal.
Who's that?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal will take care of those studs and not damage anything else. Heck, the U.S. Navy has used them to repair aircraft carrier decks.
How long does it take?
Usually about 2 hours, and the threads in the hole are not damaged.
Well, that's probably nice if you're in the big city, but out here in Hickory Flats, I'll bet they cost a fortune and take forever to get here.
They claim they can be anywhere in the world in 48 hours. And, for shutdowns, they can be here on standby for a reasonable fee. I know they've worked in mines in Chile. And just how much has your effort cost so far? Stud. Around-the-clock cruise for 2 days? Lost production of how much? Maybe a damaged dryer shell?
Yeah, you've got a point. How do I get in touch with CB whatchamacallit?
It's CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal. Call them at 1-757-465-0333 or Visit them on the web at cbgmaintenance.com. cbgmaintenance.com. Or again, phone them at 1-757-465-0333.
CBG Metal Disintegration and Stud Removal. Now that has a nice ring to it.
We like to think slavery, at least in the United States, was abolished because of some great enlightenment of people such as William Lloyd Garrison, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and others of that era. I will submit that these people and others of their era came along and were able to make their case, not only because it was absolutely the correct humanitarian case to be made, but also because they lived in an era when an alternative was available, the steam engine. William Lloyd Garrison began publishing The Liberator, an abolitionist newspaper, in 1831, when the Boulton and Watt steam engine was about 40 years old and was coming into its own. Stowe's Uncle Tom Cabin was published in 1851, a mere 20 years later, when the practical steam engine was approaching 60 and reaching widespread use in both railway and stationary applications. When it comes to cruelty to animals, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals was founded in 1824. Again, curiously, within the timing of when other sources of cheap energy were coming into widespread use. At this point, you are probably at a total loss on how I'm going to get the pulp and paper industry's use of energy into this column, but hang on, and hang on for a surprising ending, too.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
If your equipment installation, construction, or maintenance project is complex, your choice is simple. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide full-service general contractor, specializes in the most complex projects in the pulp and paper industry. Our millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of knowledgeable technical and professional staff are effective and efficient in any shutdown, planned or unplanned. Take the simple step to getting your next project done safely, on time, and on budget. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com. That's crmeyer.com.
My objective up to this point is to demonstrate that the abolition of slavery and the prevention of cruelty to animals, while noble and right political causes in their own right, conveniently gained traction only when other economical sources of energy appeared. There were other qualities about these other sources of energy that were keys to the conversion as well. Simply, these other sources of energy did not inflict pain on living tissue, unless you make the leap to the miners working in wretched conditions, a situation conveniently out of sight of those consuming the energy. Coal is inanimate, so is oil. Discovered in abundance in Pennsylvania in the late 1850s, how convenient to my thesis. Extracting the energy from coal and oil does not inflict pain on these compounds. Modern society refuses to accept pain suffered by living tissue. Not only is this important when it comes to slavery and the treatment of animals, look at the arguments put forth by the pro-choice and pro-life factions and the never-ending discussions concerning abortion. They center around the ability of tissue to feel pain as much as anything else. And don't write to me saying I came down on one side or other of this issue in this column. I worked very hard to write an absolutely neutral sentence on the subject.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Honey, I have something to tell you.
What is it, dear?
The company has given me a great opportunity, and I'm being transferred to another mill out of state. And we'll have to move soon. I'm very excited about this.
I'm proud of you for your opportunity, but we have to move? That's going to be such a hassle. What about the kids? We'll have to find a new home, and how do you find a good realtor? Not to mention enrolling the kids in a new school, finding a new church.
Ah, that reminds me. I heard someone at the mill today mention a website that has resources for people in the pulp and paper industry that are relocating.
Moving doesn't have to be a hassle. SellYouHouses.com has the resources and information to assist you with the moving process. We have a list of realtors in mill towns across the United States. Just go to the town that you are looking to move to. We also have links for schools, churches, chambers of commerce, Department of Motor Vehicles, visitors bureaus, and local government. Just go to SellYouHouses.com.
Wow! Honey, this website has all the resources we need to help us move.
Thank you, SellYouHouses!
If you're moving, just go to sellyouhouses.com. That's CellYouHouses.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
So energy is political. I'll not bother to go over the modern examples that enforce my thesis that energy is political. You should know these, for they are in the news nearly every day, from the recent observance of Earth Day to the United Nations to the recent bankruptcy of Peabody Coal of St. Louis, Missouri. My point is simply this. Just because we know all the science we know today about energy generation and its use, and just because we have access to myriads of micro and macro data about the past economical impacts of energy sources, do not expect energy decisions in the future to be made on cold, hard facts. They never have been, and I am convinced they never will be. Energy decisions on some level are always political. In other columns, I have stated that if you have various energy consumption units on your facility's asset list, I urge you to mothball those not in use, not destroy them in favor of the energy source du jour. This goes against what I normally say about removing equipment not being used. However, I've lived long enough to see swings back and forth over time. What makes sense today may not make sense tomorrow, and likely the reason will have a political one. You just may want that old coal boiler someday. Now for the surprising ending. Recall what I said a few paragraphs back about feelings and sensitivity when it comes to muscle energy. Today we are facing a world that will soon be filled with robots with lifelike characteristics. Early reports that humans who interact with these robots bond to them as if they were dealing with another human or an animal. My prediction is this. These lifelike robots will engender enough human bonding experiences to ultimately end up with some sort of protective framework code of their own, not unlike societies for the prevention of cruelties to animals. Write it down. You heard old Jim say it first, and I am convinced some of you will live long enough to see it come to pass. Just remember HAL from 2001, A Space Odyssey. What do you think? Is energy political? Express your views in our quiz this week, which you may take online. For safety this week, we know energy sources can be dangerous. It is a good month to talk about energy in your safety meetings. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 9th of May, 2016. The title is Energy Leakage. I had lunch with Dick Reese this past Tuesday. Many of you may know Dick. He is something of a legend in the industry and known for his work in recent times on energy reduction. Dick and I certainly agree on one thing. If a mill is thinking about adding to their energy generation sources, that is by adding another boiler to their fleet, it is time to pause and take a deep breath. It is one thing if you are changing fuels, quite another if you are just adding to your total steam generation capacity. What's the biggest waster of heat, according to Dick? Pump and agitator seal water, followed closely by wash-up hoses. These leaks have been on the list for as long as I've been in the industry. They look small, but add up big costs very quickly. This is particularly true if your mill's water source is fairly cool year-round. In some places, the water never rises above about 55 degrees Fahrenheit, that's 13 degrees Celsius. If your process temperature is around 120 degrees Fahrenheit, or 49 degrees Celsius, every bit of water you use, even seal water, will reach this temperature. If you're discharging at 80 degrees Fahrenheit, or 27 degrees Celsius, or worse yet, expending even more energy in a cooling tower to lower the temperature further on your discharge stream, the losses are stunning.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Hello?
Hey, Pete. This is Jane at Rocky Creek.
Hi, Jane. What's up?
Actually, Pete, I was kind of surprised to find you in your office. I thought your big boiler shutdown was going on.
We got done early. What can I do for you?
That's what I was calling about. Our recovery boiler outage is coming up next quarter, and I was wondering if you had any current experience with outage contractors.
Well, as I said, we got done early, a day early, and under budget. Most importantly, we had a zero safety incident rate.
Wow, who did you use?
RMR Mechanical. They even had time to teach our own maintenance people a thing or two.
That's good to know, Pete. Got their number?
RMR Mechanical. Call us at 770-205-9646 or meet us at rmrmechanical.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
If 1 million gallons, that is 3.78 million liters of water a day, passes through your mill with an incoming temperature of 55 degrees Fahrenheit and a discharge temperature of 80 degrees Fahrenheit, you're throwing away 208 million BTUs, that's 52.5 times 10 to the 6 kilocalories every day. So you say, okay, Jim, 1 million gallons is a lot of water. Well, it is less than 7 gallons a minute from 100 sources. I suspect your mill has more than 100 sources. You are losing this a drip at a time through seals and hoses. Take a stopwatch and a 5-gallon bucket and take a walk. Pick up a running hose and put it in the bucket and time how long it takes to fill it. Then do the math from this one data point. You may be shocked. Dick reminded me of the compounding problem we often see in this area. The seal is leaking around a press pit pulper agitator. There stands a fourth hand with a water hose, clean up the stock leak from the agitator and flush it into the U-drain. Wonderful. These matters fall into the category of issues we talk about here often. Those issues are these. Employees in a mill walk by a situation every day that they are so used to seeing that they take no action. Only when an outsider comes in and shows them that what waste is going on do they do anything about it. Then, a couple of years later, one has to go through the exercise all over again. Many of these energy wasters are in places that sadly are often only seen by employees of the lowest level in the hierarchy. They are usually the greenest employees on site and they have no comprehension of what an outstanding operation should look like. Of course, this is all management's fault. First, management should be making rounds at least once per day to the deepest, darkest, most remote corners of the mill and observing these situations themselves. Secondly, they should be making sure that entry-level employees understand what standard levels of operation are expected. And finally, they should make sure there is a system in place that will allow even the newest employee to raise their hand and point out conditions that need correcting. What do you think? Do you see any things from this column that need correcting in your mill? Take our quiz this week online and let us know. For safety this week, leaky, wet conditions create opportunities for slips and falls. Yet another reason to work on your seals and hoses. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you ready to advance your career in the pulp and paper industry? Freeman Staffing specializes in pulp and paper positions and the placement of engineers of all disciplines, from production supervisors and managers, mill managers, maintenance engineers and managers, project engineers and managers, process engineers and managers, to corporate executives, North America wide. Freeman Staffing can help you find the best job opportunity in the industry. Contact Freeman Staffing at 800-221-9629. That's 800-221-9629. Or visit them at www.freemanstaffing.com to look at current opportunities. That's FreemanStaffing.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 16th of May, 2016. The title, Energy ROI Calculations Are Suspect. Why are energy calculations suspect? Go back to my column of 2 weeks ago where I stated, and you agreed in our quiz, that, quotes, energy is always political, end quotes. One cannot do a solid calculation on what seems to be an economic or engineering set of facts if those facts can be altered at the whim of politicians. I once worked in a mill that had developed a fuel oil tank farm 35 miles away on the Mississippi River because they thought they were going to run out of natural gas. That was a bad guess as to the future. They shut it down and sold the land by 1981. In the 1990s, my consulting company did quite a bit of work as bankers' engineers on mill sites where natural gas turbines and HRSGs, that's heat recovery steam generators, were installed. This was a good guess. In the mid-aughts, I was involved in a project where the lender demanded a hedge on natural gas in order to fund the facility, at a time when natural gas was at the highest historical price it had ever been. This was right before fracking took off. It took years and cost the mill tens of millions of dollars to get out of this bad guess. In just the last 6 months, Iran has come back into the oil market. The U.S. EPA has begun to really put the squeeze on coal. Peabody Coal has filed for bankruptcy. And now we have the monstrous fire in Fort McMurray, Alberta. Who knows what this fire is going to do to the long-term energy consumption patterns? The only one of these items that could have been predicted with any certainty was the EPA's squeeze on coal. But what is unknown at this time is what a next president of the United States might do about this.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here's an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Pappardello Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called Simultweet. Pappardello's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Shirley, we have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Pappardello, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Pappardello for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
In the 46 years I have been in industry, it seems like the latest and greatest thing in energy has happened about every 6 months. If your company has ROI guidelines that demand you only do projects with a return of less than 3 years, be aware that those guidelines are useless when it comes to energy projects. No one, and I mean no one, can tell you what energy economic conditions will exist 3 years from now. You can more accurately predict the demand for newsprint. If you are, quotes, down in the trenches, there is not much you can do about setting ROI guidelines, but you can certainly run several scenarios to see what might be the many possible ways energy can go. So, in this column, have I merely provided a statement without an answer? I don't think so. The takeaway is that energy projects have to be looked at from many angles, particularly if they are significant investments as compared to the depreciated value of the assets they serve. Don't develop a cost overhang situation that will sink the mill if you guessed wrong. And count on guessing wrong. This is why you have to develop several scenarios. Explore not only the upside of your energy project, but the downside as well. In the project development business, we develop scenarios based on sources of funds. For equity players, we develop upside scenarios. What is the likely return on investment, and what is the possible return on investment if everything goes great? For debt players, we develop downside scenarios. What can go wrong that might cause the debt to not be repaid? Debt players do not care about the upside because they are blocked from participating in the upside under any conditions. For energy projects, act as if you are a debt lender to the project. Forget the upside. Play defense, not offense. Has any industry ever figured out how to predict energy cost? Yes. One that is totally dependent on energy cost, the airline industry. It took these companies decades, but they have developed sophisticated models to predict and hedge jet fuel cost. One, Delta Airlines even bought a refinery to produce their own jet fuel, a decision that was derided in Forbes on the 21st of January 2015, praised in The Motley Fool on the 27th of August 2015, and praised in Air Transport World in October 2015. With that, I will say this. Proceed with caution when looking at energy projects. And don't forget, this is one area where I say mothball. Do not dismantle unused energy-generating assets. They may just be back in fashion next week. What do you think? You may take our quiz this week and let us know your views on energy ROI calculations. Please take it online. For safety this week, we are focused on saving your job. Be sure when you are crawling around those energy facilities, you are focused on preserving a healthy life as well. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 23rd of May, 2016. The Easiest Energy Savings. The easiest energy savings follow the same philosophy as the easiest safety improvements. If it does not exist, it cannot hurt you or consume energy. Your first reaction will be this: we don't operate anything we don't need in order to run our facility. Really? I'll bet I could find all sorts of things to turn off or modify in your facility. Let's go for the big stuff first. If you are a recycled containerboard facility, why are you running refiners? I know a number of such facilities that never even installed refiners. Do they do some other things, such as use more starch? Yes, but they are realizing very large energy savings by just not having refiners, and they are still selling all the paper they can make. Vacuum pumps are the silent energy consumers. When was the last time you checked all your vacuum pump piping for leaks? Do you know how to check it for leaks? Are all your vacuum consumers, table boxes, Yule boxes, suction rolls, and so forth, set for the proper slot widths per the manufacturer's recommendations? When you replace vacuum pumps, do you replace them in kind, or have you looked for some of the latest high-efficiency models?
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Honey, I have something to tell you.
What is it, dear?
The company has given me a great opportunity, and I'm being transferred to another mill out of state, and we'll have to move soon. I'm very excited about this.
I'm proud of you for your opportunity, but we have to move? That's going to be such a hassle. What about the kids? We'll have to find a new home, and how do you find a good realtor? Not to mention enrolling the kids in a new school, finding a new church.
Ah, that reminds me. I heard someone at the mill today mention a website that has resources for people in the pulp and paper industry that are relocating.
Moving doesn't have to be a hassle. SellYouHouses.com has the resources and information to assist you with the moving process. We have a list of realtors and mill towns across the United States. Just go to the town that you are looking to move to. We also have links for schools, churches, chambers of commerce, Department of Motor Vehicles, visitors bureaus, and local government. Just go to SellYouHouses.com.
Wow! Honey, this website has all the resources we need to help us move.
Thank you, SellYouHouses!
If you're moving, just go to SellYouHouses.com. That's CellYouHouses.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Pumps and process piping are another source of energy waste. Several things are going on here. It is remarkable when one looks at the as-installed systems how much energy is wasted just chasing streams around in circles. Even worse is this situation, when a mill pushes through too much water because of poor water management. I once reduced a mill's sewer bill by over 80% by better water management. I had to put in one used pump and 50 feet of pipe, but it was worth over $400,000 per month in savings. Then there are pumps that are throttled or have restrictions in the lines. Either size the pump correctly, or better yet, put in a VFD, variable frequency drive unit. Many mills are going around replacing lights with modern ones of various designs. This is worth doing too. Still, the best thing to do is eliminate energy consumers altogether. I'll bet I could walk into any mill and shut down 10% of the energy consumers and not affect the performance of that mill one bit. I think I could do that 3 years in a row in the same mill before it would become challenging. There is one big but to this, however. The management and personnel of that mill have to be willing to go along with this move and be willing to do without their, quote, security blanket, end quotes, be it a pump, a fan, or whatever it may be. Now, I did not plan this when I started this article, but it occurs to me that I would be remiss if I did not mention one of our great advertisers right here in this column. This is Airmaster Aerators. Airmaster offers the most energy-efficient, high-performance aerator on the market today. You see their advertisements all over our media sites. If you are operating effluent ponds or not using Airmaster aerators, you are wasting a tremendous amount of energy. So, turn things off by efficient modern replacements or reduce your energy bill. It is really quite simple. What do you think? What can you turn off? Please take our quiz online this week. For safety this week, just like I started this column comparing safety to energy savings, we'll end the same way. If you can eliminate an energy consumer, no one can become injured on an energy source that does not exist. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
CBG.
Morning, Tom. Give me some good news today.
Man, I really wish I could. We've got broken bolts in dryer cans, there are stuck studs in the pump housing, and to top it off, now they've broken a drill bit trying to get an alignment pin out. I think it's safe to say that the more we work, the farther we get behind.
So, Tom, are you doing this the old-fashioned way just for fun?
What do you mean?
Broken bolts, studs, drill bits, alignment pins, keys. CBG metal disintegration and stud removal can fix all those problems. CBG takes broken and stuck metal out of everything. Heck, they work on submarines, aircraft carriers, power plants, oil refineries, even a one-of-a-kind Ferrari engine, and have removed hundreds of dryer can bolts all over the U.S. I saw on CBGmaintenance.com they took out a 9/64-inch drill bit and removed 2.5-inch studs at a power plant.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Can you give me that website address again?
It's CBGmaintenance.com. Bookmark the site and give them a call today. CBGmaintenance.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 30th of May, 2016. A flight of fantasy, wild and crazy energy ideas. As we wrap up Energy Month, let's look at some completely kooky ideas for energy savings. The naysayers will have their negative comments, but let's keep in mind what looks kooky now may be the greatest thing in just a few years. After all, if a mere 200 years ago you had tried to speculate on humankind's harnessing and use of electricity, coming in just a couple of centuries you would have been labeled a complete nut job. So here we go. Since these are wild ideas, we are free to ignore economics and just present concepts. We'll leave it to the serious folks who see a grain of logic in these to quietly make them economical once the laughter dies down. First idea. It has always driven me crazy how much energy and water we exhaust out of dryer sections. Conventional wisdom says blow it to the atmosphere. It is not worth saving or is not practical to save. However, what if we were able to run these exhaust streams through some sort of exhauster and then bubble the resulting high-pressure, moisture-laden stream through stock tanks? We could use the mechanical energy in the stream to replace agitators. We could use the thermal energy in the stream to heat the water. And at the same time, we could condense and save all that moisture, bubbling out a fairly dry and cool stream of spent air. Sort of a giant bong, if you will, for those familiar with wacky tobacco. Second idea, turbines and air compressors locations. I've always thought turbines and air compressors should be located in such a manner that the air that passes through the building in which they're located is pushed into the paper machine building. This idea could be particularly valuable in cooler climates where much of the year building makeup air is heated. Turbines and air compressors, despite cooling systems, still release a lot of heat to the atmosphere. save this heat and push it into the space you are already heating. It may not be much, but it is worthwhile to save the heat rather than exhausting it to the atmosphere.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Honey, I have something to tell you.
What is it, dear?
The company has given me a great opportunity, and I'm being transferred to another mill out of state. And we'll have to move soon. I'm very excited about this.
I'm proud of you for your opportunity, but we have to move? That's going to be such a hassle. What about the kids? We'll have to find a new home, and how do you find a good realtor? Not to mention enrolling the kids in a new school, finding a new church.
Ah, that reminds me. I heard someone at the mill today mention a website that has resources for people in the pulp and paper industry that are relocating.
Moving doesn't have to be a hassle. SellYouHouses.com has the resources and information to assist you with the moving process. We have a list of realtors and mill towns across the United States. Just go to the town that you are looking to move to. We also have links for schools, churches, chambers of commerce, Department of Motor Vehicles, visitors bureaus, and local government. Just go to SellYouHouses.com.
Wow! Honey, this website has all the resources we need to help us move.
Thank you, SellYouHouses!
If you're moving, just go to SellYouHouses.com. That's CellYouHouses.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Third idea, incoming water lines and outgoing effluent lines. This idea will work best with recycled mills, which purchase water and discharge their effluent back to a municipal system. Do this. Build these systems with concentric pipes starting near the public source and coming into the mill. In the outer pipe, bring in the water supply, and in the center pipe, send out the effluent. The idea is to pull as much heat out of the effluent as possible, for you've just made a counterflow heat exchanger out of the entire system. If this system runs for half a mile, you have a very nice heat exchanger capable of extracting a lot of heat from the effluent system. Fourth idea, build tanks underground. When I promoted this with the Light Green Machine Institute crowd a few years ago, I received a lot of pushback, for they were worried about detecting and repairing leaks. However, this will save a lot of heat loss through side walls. Further, the tanks can be fairly cheap. Think of gunite swimming pools. All four of the above ideas have one basic theme. Let's keep the heat we've paid for and not just blow it off to the atmosphere or export it to some water treatment system. They are all relatively small ideas, but taken together, they could add up to significant energy savings. What do you think? Do you have any wild ideas? Please take our quiz online this week. For safety this week, the more we can keep humans away from hot surfaces, the better our safety record will be. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.